It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday, August 5th. I'm Noelle King in Los Angeles, in for Ben Johnson. We're heading into the start of a new school year, and there's good news for some low-income families, courtesy of Comcast. The company is expanding a program that lets low-income Americans apply to receive broadband internet for only $10 a month. Brian Fung is a technology reporter for The Washington Post. Brian, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Brian, up until now, the Internet Essentials program has had barriers to some low-income people. What changes is Comcast making?
So one of the things Comcast is announcing is that it's changing its eligibility requirements so that people who used to be Comcast customers but owe money to Comcast will now be able to be eligible for Internet Essentials, Comcast's low-cost internet program.
Okay, so it used to be I'm a low-income parent, I can sign up for this program only if I don't owe Comcast any money. Is that right?
That's right. Comcast is saying that if your bill to Comcast is more than a year old, you will be able to apply for Internet Essentials. And if your bill to Comcast is less than a year old, Comcast will work with you to explore ways for paying back that amount in installments, potentially.
Let's talk about how Comcast defines eligibility for this program. What does low income mean, according to their standards?
So you're eligible for Internet Essentials if you have a child that is eligible for free or reduced price school lunches.
How many families, Brian, are currently taking advantage of this Internet Essentials program?
Well, on Monday, Comcast said 350,000 households have now been signed up for Internet Essentials, and that works out to about 1.4 million Americans. Now, it's important to point out that some critics of Internet Essentials say that that's a good number, but it's not nearly enough because there are about 2.6 million households that would potentially be eligible were it not for eligibility requirements or other conditions.
Brian, the bigger point here seems to be whether you're low income, high income, or somewhere in between, if you've got school age kids, they need to be connected to the internet. Are we moving toward an understanding of that fact, do you think?
I think we are. I think the more that government services move online, the more that educational services rely on software and cloud-based computing, I think the greater the risk of leaving the country's poorest Americans behind in a digital divide. And so a lot of what Comcast says it's doing here is helping to close that gap.
Brian Fung covers technology for The Washington Post. Brian, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks again for having me.
Comcast's move might not be entirely altruistic. Brian Fung writes the company has been promoting Internet Essentials as part of a campaign to convince regulators to approve its $45 billion merger with Time Warner. Comcast says if approved, the merger would extend Internet Essentials to millions more low-income people. As more families move toward greater connectivity, lots of towns and cities are also exploring ways to bring broadband to residents and businesses. It's not cheap, so if you want to turn your town into a tech hub, having a wealthy resident can be a huge help. Aaron Mendelson reports from the Bay Area.
The suburb of San Leandro sits just east of Oakland. Underneath the city lies a loop of ultra-fast broadband. It's about 2,000 times faster than your connection at home, and it exists because of one guy.
My name's Pat Kennedy.
He runs the company OSIsoft. A few years ago, Kennedy was looking to expand, but he wanted the kind of infrastructure he saw in towns like Palo Alto. So he put down $3 million of his own money to make it happen.
The reason I did it is that I've actually been a 40-year resident of San Leandro, and it became clear that these industrial cities that really are not going to be on the first in the list, of course, for the broadband, the fiber, were really going to suffer as a result.
The thing is, San Leandro was already struggling. This used to be a manufacturing town, but those jobs dried up in the 70s and 80s, which begs the question.
How do we re-energize this industrial space to actually become alive again?
That's Deborah Acosta, the brand new chief innovation officer. Her job is to convince businesses that San Leandro is the place to be. It starts with the bright red streaks running through her hair.
So when they see my red hair, they're going, holy smokes, something's different here. I think I need to pay attention.
She says the investment, now at more than $13 million, wouldn't have happened if Pat Kennedy hadn't put down that initial money. Analyst Craig Settle says it's one way for cities to get broadband.
This idea of going to local businesses and say, can you contribute to the network, is one of the more viable options in my book.
It's helped get broadband off the ground in places far away from tech centers, like Emporia, Kansas, Fredericton, New Brunswick, and Keene, New York. Here in San Leandro, Pat Kennedy's investment has paid off with this. It's a 3D printer made by Type A Machines. The company's new to town. In the past couple years, broadband has created less than 100 jobs here. But Acosta and Kennedy think they're onto something. Next up, 500,000 square feet of office space with those ultra-fast connections. In San Leandro, I'm Aaron Mendelson for Marketplace.
And finally, a plan to deal with space junk could be in the works. NASA says there are around 500,000 pieces of debris whirling around the Earth at more than 17,000 miles an hour and threatening satellites and the International Space Station. Lots of ideas have been floated, like dragging the junk back to Earth with magnets, but nothing's been acted on yet. Now, Japan says it will launch a military space force that will be charged with protecting satellites and spacecraft from debris. Japan's Kyoto News Agency reports the country's air defense force will use sophisticated radar and telescopes to keep an eye on the location of debris. It's a military project, so along with air, land, and sea, space is poised to become the fourth battlefield. But not until 2019. I'm Noelle King, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.